You're listening to The Music Show on ABC Radio National, and it's time to meet the King Singers. First of all, they are going to sing for us.
Now is the month of May, when many lads are playing, fa-la-la-la-la-la-la, fa-la-la-la-la-la-la. Now is the month of May, when many lads are playing, fa-la-la-la-la-la-la, fa-la-la-la-la-la-la. Each with his bonny lass, upon the greeny grass, fa-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la. Each with his bonny lass, upon the greeny grass, fa-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la. The spring clad all in gladness doth laugh at winter's sadness, fa-la-la-la-la-la-la, fa-la-la-la-la-la-la. The spring clad all in gladness doth laugh at winter's sadness, fa-la-la-la-la-la, fa-la-la-la-la-la-la. And to the bagpipe's sound, the nymphs tread out their ground, fa-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la. And to the bagpipe's sound, the nymphs tread out their ground. Fie then, why sit we musing, you sweet delight refusing, fa-la-la-la-la-la-la-la. Fie then, why sit we musing, you sweet delight refusing, fa-la-la-la-la-la-la. Say, did ye nymphs then speak? Shall we play barley break? Fa-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la. Say, did ye nymphs then speak? Shall we play barley break? Fa-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la.
Live on today's music show, that was the King Singers. Thank you very much indeed, gentlemen. David Hurley and Timothy Wainwright, the countertenors, Paul Phoenix, tenor, Christopher Gabitas and Christopher Brewerton, baritones, and Jonathan Howard, bass. And that was Now is the Month of Maying by Thomas Morley?
Absolutely.
Thank you very much for that. And what is Barley Break, by the way?
Oh, I don't know. I think it's a kind of game, a kind of old game that's gone out of fashion, I think.
I think so too. I've always wondered. I thought you might be the experts. David Hurley and Jonathan Howard, let's do the statistics first of all. 45 years old, you guys wouldn't have been born, I suppose, then?
Well, I was. I was, I think, 6 years old when the group started, but my colleague Johnny, who's standing next to me...
I was minus 20.
Oh dear, that makes me feel very old.
You've had 20 members since in those 45 years?
I think sort of early 20s somewhere. I think something about
22 or 23. Or 23.
We lose count. But right. I mean, considering the length of time the group's been going, that's a remarkably small number.
I was surprised, actually, that it was so few. I mean, I think there have been more people in the platters.
Yes.
and one of your members is so new that I think did his first concert yesterday or the day before.
Yeah, the paint is still wet. It's our new first baritone, Chris Brewerton, who, apart from being a wonderful guy, is the first non-Brit in the King Singers. He's he's a Kiwi, and we're delighted to have to diversify it a little bit in the King Singers.
Exactly.
But he's a great addition to the group.
Mm-hmm. And how do you get into the King Singers? I mean, I assume there are some arcane rituals and initiations and, you know, blood oaths and so forth.
No threats of tongue slicing or anything like that. No, when one of the current members of the group decides to resign, sort of to hang up their cords, as it were, the remaining people in the group sort of put their heads together and contact anyone and everyone they know in the choral world in England to get recommendations of people who might be suitable for the job. And once a shortlist has been drawn up, those people are contacted, details are found out and calls are made, and then there are usually at least two rounds of auditions. For me, it was quite funny. I was sitting at my desk in an advertising agency when I got the call asking if I wanted to audition, and I was completely shocked and surprised and unexpecting, and lo and behold, 6 months later, after two rounds of auditions and lots of pieces to learn, I was offered the job. And that was back in May 2010.
Yes, and when you say lots of pieces to learn, I mean the repertoire of the King Singers is famously diverse. So I assume that, you know, singing an Elizabethan madrigal like the one we've just heard, it isn't quite the same as singing Straighten Up and Fly Right, which we played before the news. I mean, there are different, it's not just a matter of different styles, there are almost different techniques involved, aren't there?
Yeah, I mean, the sound we make is fairly similar, but obviously, you know, you go from a madrigal, you're perhaps a bit more classically based, and then you can't be totally classical when you sing a piece by Nat King Cole or a piece by Jason Mraz or Michael Bublé. You have to mix it in a bit, but actually we approach it in the same way as a piece of sort of musical entertainment.
And that was the case really from the start, wasn't it? I mean, I don't know whether the King Singers was exactly modelled on the Swingle Singers. I mean, apart from anything else, you don't have any women in your group. But it's the same sort of deal that you would sing classical music, you would sing brand new classical works, and pop music too.
The group came from a cathedral chapel tradition of singing sacred music, but they liked groups particularly like the Hi-Lo's, the great American group, and that sort of liked singing. And obviously the Swingles had just started and were getting some success, and the sort of stuff they were doing, particularly the sort of Bach jazz stuff they were doing, was quite an exciting new venture in the choral world. It seems, you know, now it seems such a sort of part of it, but at the time was sort of a brand new thing. And the group was sort of thinking, well, you can mix all these things in together and make something exciting. And you know, we as the current members of the group are delighted that they did.
Mm. And what about microphones? I mean, how much of the time are you close mic'd?
Not very often, actually. We tend to like to perform using the natural acoustics in a venue. And we find that we're able to adjust accordingly within the group to make the right sounds to make each different venue work. But, of course, when you're performing with an orchestra, as we are tonight and we did last night, however good we are at producing harmonics and extraordinary resonances within any hall, it's probably quite difficult for six voices to overpower a 150-man band. So we do use microphones, and it's a different technique, but it's one that we find still works with the music that we want to perform, particularly with the more pop repertoire, which is what the concert is tonight and what it was last night.
Yes, and which also sort of requires a kind of an intimacy of singing, doesn't it?
Exactly.
I mean, that the church music of the 16th century of the 17th century doesn't.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, absolutely.
Do you actually need to come with a sense of repertoire to the King Singers, or is it something which is sort of handed you at the door when you walk in?
It is handed you at the door, but obviously one of the great things about having new people join the group is a new set of loves and loathings of music come into the group, and so you get a new perspective and new ideas are brought forward. And I think that's one of the strengths of the group, that actually we get a lot of suggestions from outside the group, but actually, by and large, the musical decisions and the musical suggestions come from within the group. And obviously, younger people, you know, if we were all my age, you know, in our late 40s, very late 40s in my case, you know, the music would be very limited and rather old-fashioned. And so it's great to have some younger members of the group with slightly more up-to-date musical tastes.
Yes, yes. And again, over the course of the King Singers' existence, I mean, you've been fortunate in getting some really very, you know, important composers to write for you. I mean, thinking of people like Peter Maxwell Davis, Malcolm Williamson, and Georges Ligeti. I mean, that extraordinary piece that he composed. Here was a man whose composing schedule was very full.
Well, the wonderful thing about our work with George Ligeti is that he was really inspired by the group. He was introduced to the group and heard the group's Beatles album, and he apparently was given this and thought, what is this? And he went out, he enjoyed it so much, he went to his local CD store in Hamburg and went and bought about 20, ordered 20 copies and gave them to all his friends. And there are these wonderful little subliminal moments of sort of Beatles within his Nonsense Madrigals. There's a little bit from Penny Lane in the top part in one of them, and which is, you know, blink and you miss it, but it makes me smile every time we sing it. And it was his little sort of nod to his first introduction to the King Singers. And his music, that I think of of all the commissions we've had, has been one of the most successful. We have a new one, which we're featuring on this tour by Australian composer Elena Katz-Chernin, called Rivers Lament, which we will be singing in some of the places on this trip. And that's a wonderful piece that we commissioned at the City of London Festival and premiered it last year for that festival. And that's a fantastic piece, and we will be continuing to perform that around the world.
Oh, well, I look forward to hearing that, and I'm going to dash home after this and put on my recording of the Ligeti and see if I can find Penny Lane, because I've never noticed Penny Lane there before.
Well, if you do get back to me and tell me where you think it is.
The arrangers have also been tremendously important, haven't they, in the King's Singers' longevity. I mean, you've had some arrangers like Gordon Langford and Richard Rodney Bennett that you've worked with over and over again.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I think particularly Gordon Langford, I think, was one of the sort of founding arrangers of the group, and actually were very, very instrumental in creating the sound of the King Singers, which is such a feature. But we've also been incredibly fortunate to have some really talented arrangers within the group: Bill Ives, Bob Chilcott, and our recently departed first baritone Phil Lawson, who has done some wonderful arrangements for the group. And there's something about arrangements from within, where someone knows the voices so well that they end up with an arrangement that is just so spot on.
Yes, and it's also nice to leave something behind, I suppose, yeah, when you go back into your advertising job.
Yeah, my relic. Yeah. My arrangements for the King Singers.
You're going to sing a Jason Mraz song for us. This is I'm Yours.
Yeah, this is actually one of Philip's arrangements of the I think 2009 summer hit by Jason Mraz.
Exactly.
Thank you. So good to have you on the show.
That's a pleasure.
Thank you.
Try to be chill, but you're so hot that I melted. I fell right through the cracks. Now I'm trying to get back. Before the cool done run, I'll be giving it my best. And so nothing's gonna stop me but divine intervention. I reckon it's again my turn to win some or learn some. But I won't hesitate no more, no more. It cannot wait. I'm yours. Well, open up your mind and see like me. Open up your plans and then you're free. Listen to your heart and you'll find love, 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 love. Listen to the music of the moment people dance and sing. We're just one big family, and it's our God-forsaken right to be love, 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 love. So why